protesters outside the Kenosha Police Department in April. Footage there from WMAQ-TV in Chicago. It has been 1 year since Jacob Blake was shot 7 times by a Kenosha police officer, setting off riots and protests over police brutality and structural racism in Kenosha, in Wisconsin, in America. Are you from Kenosha? What do you think of policing today? What is your message to a state lawmaker on police reform? 800-642-1234. State Senator Lena Taylor is a Democrat who represents areas north of Milwaukee, including Shorewood, Glendale, and Wauwatosa. Senator Taylor, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good morning. What is coming up for you today on this day, a year after the shooting of Jacob Blake?
Good morning. My heart goes out to Jacob in his new journey, not having the use of his lower extremities in the same way that he had been accustomed to. But my largest heart goes out to the children who mm-hmm. had to watch a dynamic that will affect how they see leadership, how they see police, their relationship with their father. All of those things are affected when you as a child have such an adverse childhood experience, like seeing your father shot by a police officer. So my heart goes out to them and that journey that the children and the family have to go on. And of course, the community has the consequences or the fallout that happens from an incident where an officer is justified in his action, but clearly de-escalation and other options are what everyone looking at the video would hope for, no different than people hoped for something different from George Floyd, but the truth in the video of what happened with him. But the truth of the matter is, you know, Jacob is in a different place, right, than George, which is a blessing, but still carries its own burdens.
Your colleague, State Senator Bob Wirch, who represents the city of Kenosha, he joined us a day after the shooting.
We have to understand each other. We have to work together. I don't know any other answers. Clearly, we need to be accountable for our actions, what the police have done.
So how do you think Jacob Blake being shot has reshaped conversations about race and about policing in Wisconsin?
I don't know about reshaped it, but I will say that it did, maybe the better word is force us to have some conversations. And I'm not going to suggest that those conversations are the end all and be all, because they are not. We still have not arrived. We were able to do a bill to encourage and demand, actually, the teaching of the Holocaust, which happened in another country, but not the Holocaust of Black people that have happened in this country. So that shows you that where we are. Right. And that now people are standing up saying they don't agree with critical race theory, which frankly is just demanding the truth and teach the truth. Christopher Columbus did not discover America. Right. Mm. And the circumstances of African-Americans in the United States has been a journey that's similar to many of the things that people experienced in the Jewish people experienced in the Holocaust. So our race relations, our race conversations have not come to the place of all peaches and cream. It's still maybe some of a lot of the pits that are in the cherry. But I will say that we at least had some, and that in some ways is progress. And where we are on police reform is surely not where I would like to see us be, but we at least are not in the same exact location and place that we were at before.
There's been some movement, and I want to look more closely at legislation becoming law, the 2021 Wisconsin Act 75 that Governor Evers signed into law earlier this month, that sets a statewide use of force policy, allows deadly force only as a last resort, and air quotes there in last resort. How much does this solve systemic injustice or make inroads?
I will say it does not solve it. I will say it, in my opinion, it makes inroads. I've often said to people that when I set out to do legislation on police reform with individuals who are at an entirely different extreme than I may be, maybe they saw the George Floyd matter as something that was a reflection of someone, a criminal, you know, doing something and that person having the reactions that they did because of drug addiction. I don't agree with that by any means. However, I don't get to make law in a vacuum with people who just think like me. Matter of fact, they're in, the people in control aren't with me often at all on these kinds of issues. So to get to a place where we could come to a center on some items, that we need to have a standard, that we need to say that we're not okay, right, with excessive force use, you know, that's basically what that bill says. I think that was important to lay that foundation. I think it was important to say that policy has to be available so that there's no confusion of what the policy is. You know, my father says you can't expect what you don't inspect. This was an opportunity, or at least a step to try to state what we expect so we can go back and collect data and keep those things so that we can inspect it later. And hopefully that will help for legislators that come behind me to be able to continue to move the ball, move the needle, to bend the arc, you know, in Martin Luther King's words, more towards justice.
You know, when you say they're coming to a center, it reminds me of the Bipartisan Assembly Task Force and the work of Representative Sheila Stubbs and Jim Steinke from the Assembly. And I'm wondering your thoughts there on ultimately what that task force was able to put forth and Governor Evers signing four bills into law related to their work.
Well, I will tell you that them coming aboard with bills that Senator Wangard and I did nearly a year before the task force was even formed is important, that they got to the same place that we were at so that Governor Evers could sign those matters. I think that the task force was flawed from the beginning. If you have a task force, but it's only on one of the houses and not both, it's not going to be whatever it's suggesting that when you have the co-author doing emails with the leadership saying that this is a farce. It puts you in a position that it cannot be all that it needs to be. But what I will say is that I love that it allowed for people in the community, people on the front lines, people who are law enforcement, people across the spectrum to be a part of discussions and to have to hear each other. And for that, I commend the co-chairs for being able to create that kind of environment. And it wasn't easy, you know, for that type of environment to be laid out. But I do believe that it allowed people to hear each other who normally would not. And I think that is part of what Senator Wirch was saying, is that, you know, we have to, we have to communicate more and we have to hear each other more.
We're talking about policing with State Senator Lena Taylor, Democrat representing part of Milwaukee, its surrounding communities. With your thoughts on policing today, 800-642-1234. Jack is joining us from Caledonia. Hi, Jack. Go ahead.
How are you guys today?
Good morning, Jack.
How are you? Hey, we talked about all these things, you know, when this started a year ago. And I called into the radio station. I said, you know, the thing that bothered me about all these situations where the police officer has to escalate, you know, his actions to arrest somebody, it comes to the point to the point of the person resisting arrest. And when you get when a police officer gets involved in a situation like that, he's got a chance of, you know, losing his life, getting injured, losing his job, going to jail, all these things. And the person that is causing the situation by resisting arrest, you know, is going to get a $150 fine or, you know, something really minor. And my point was that, you know, we got to increase the arrest. I've been arrested, And it was, you know, I did something wrong. I understood that. I was arrested, you know, taken to jail, got money to get out of jail, and went to court and, you know, went in front of a judge, and that was it. You know, no blood was lost, okay? But, and so I'm just saying that, you know, people that get, when you get arrested, just, hey, I can get arrested. I did something wrong. Accept the fact and let the policeman do his job, and then the lawyers will do their jobs and the judge will do their jobs. It's not, you know, taking it into your own hands and starting to fight the officer. He doesn't want that. You know?
Jack, you sound like the guy who tells the woman in the middle of labor, oh, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. You don't know the experience because you're not living it. And so what I will say, Jack, is that I respect, if I could finish, Jack, I let you, if I could. I do understand the concept, Jack, of what you're speaking about. Different experiences. There are different levels of trauma. There's different levels of anxiety. I'm going to give a perfect example. Just the other night, my brother is driving. He works in Hartford. He's driving from Hartford, and he's driving several of his colleagues, his colleagues that work with him, back from Hartford. The officer, deputy sheriff, stops him. And he stops him because he says he doesn't have a plate. Well, first of all, that's not true. There is a plate. There's a temporary plate, and very boldly from the back. The officer then notices when he comes to the car that there are individuals in the car without seatbelts. So the officer now wants everyone's ID that's in the car. He wants to give everyone a citation for a seatbelt. It's 1:50 in the morning. They're coming from work. They've worked a long, full shift. And so the officer has discretion. He could have said, oh, I'm so sorry. I see the plate, just like has happened before, and let him go. Or the officer can use the discretion to do different. When my brother called me at 1:40 in the morning, the anxiety that got me up out my bed to drive down 41 to find where he was is because people who look like him and me, Jack, they don't get the experience, Jack, that you might get. And the reality is that I do agree that, you know, cooperate and things may not escalate. But I also know is that when an officer looks at someone who looks like me, often, not always, what happens instead is that we don't get the same discretion, Jack, that you get. So whether you agree or disagree, the reality is that my brother got stopped when he was doing nothing wrong. My son got stopped, Jack, taking a turkey to a neighbor, put in the back of a squad, stopped and frisked. So it's easy to tell me, Jack, what you think, and I receive that, but you don't walk in the shoes. And so as a result of that, I believe that another thing that could happen is that officers can de-escalate better so that the biases that exist because of race won't leave us in a position of a Sandra Bland or others where a small thing escalates into someone not coming home.
We're going to pause there with State Senator Lena Taylor. Stays with us on the State Capitol Report as we discuss police reform on this one-year anniversary of the Jacob Blake shooting. What are your thoughts on law enforcement's use of force? Do you think prospective officers should undergo a psychological exam prior to employment? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute for more State Cap with State Senator Lena Taylor here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You have aligned to Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor as we look at issues facing Milwaukee in these times. Policing, the pandemic, nearly a 500,000 Milwaukee County residents have received at least the first dose of the COVID vaccine. That's the latest data from the State Health Department. State Senator Lena Taylor is with us for about 9 more minutes. Before we move on to the pandemic, I want to ask you about legislation that you're working on with other state senators supporting a bill that would require prospective law enforcement officers to complete a psychological exam prior to employment. Can you explain this bill?
Well, the bill adds to the responsibility of the standard board for them to establish some minimum education and training standards for admission to employment for law enforcement officers. It's just minimum curriculum requirements. It's at least giving us some type of standard and requirements for recertification and advanced courses and things along those lines for their annual recertification training. This is a way, from my perspective, for this bill, you know, just to provide us a way for people to try to take a snapshot, you know, on what the state of mind of individuals may be, because it's a very trauma based type of job. And I think often we don't think about the mental health of law enforcement and their families, which is one of the reasons that I think addiction as well as divorce are high among law enforcement.
How do you think the bill would affect recruitment of future officers?
I think recruitment has become a challenge, period, in this state of, you know, people being very displeased with and vocal about their displeasure with where we are with community police relationships. But I do believe that it will allow for who we recruit for individuals to have better information. I think that no different with an average person, that who you are and what you experience follows you in your work environment. I think that we need to be able to know the state of mind, because we depend on law enforcement, as well as, if I could be honest, we often have people who were in the service or who are in the service. My son is presently in the service now. And I think we have to make sure that individuals are not coming with a military mentality to the police force, because militarization is something that we want to reduce. We want to experience more de-escalation. And so I just think this is just a way to make sure that our officers are best prepared to embrace community policing.
Senator Taylor, one other thing I want to run by you. There's this new investigation out of Wisconsin Watch. It found nearly 200 law enforcement officers currently employed in our state were fired from previous jobs in police departments, or resigned instead of being fired, or quit before completion of an internal investigation. What are your thoughts there?
It's one of the reasons that one of the bills that I also did with Senator Wangard is one where your experiences can go with you, or should go with you, and that is available to the next place that you go. Often that has not been so. And so I believe that it is important for that piece to happen. I think it also is a challenging statement or fact for us to see where we are with that. I think that it does mean that we need more in our process, not only psychological, but also what have been your experiences, i.e. someone from Wauwatosa, one of my districts, he shot and killed like 4 people in a very short period of time of being on the force. That is the type of thing that I think, 3 people, that is the type of thing that I think that someone needs to know. And I think someone then needs to be able to say, what can we do different in our training so that he can be more on a de-escalation level? These aren't people who shot at him. You know, these are not people who maybe even in some situations had a weapon. You know, either way it goes, my point is I believe that something, letting individuals know what their prior experiences were on a force, is very important. We've shown that it's best.
Yeah.
It's been shown that it would be best to have that information.
We're talking with State Senator Lena Taylor, Democrat representing part of Milwaukee, its surrounding communities. You can join in with questions you have about policing, the pandemic, things that you want State Senator Lena Taylor to know as part of representation. 800-642-1234. Looking at the pandemic, last month, Milwaukee Health Department issued a mask advisory for all residents, regardless of vaccination status. What more should be done through your eyes in order to stop the spread of the virus?
You know, everything. I think we all should consider ourselves a part of the solution and figure out what we can do. Get vaccinated.
you know, beyond getting vaccinated, you know, determine if the vaccination that you took, if there's a need for a booster, and if you're 7, 8, 9 months in, making sure that that happens. Wear your mask. If you are inside, wear your mask. If you are outside, you probably don't have to wear your mask, but if you are not 6 feet, you should. Be a part of the solution is what I want to say. And we can't expect anything but an increase after the Bucks championship. The truth of the matter is those were Delta spreaders because we had thousands of people that were down in downtown Milwaukee. And so we're going to, you know, have some roads and some corners to turn because of our willingness to be extremely excited for the Bucks and forget we were in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah. And you say Bucks, and I have to ask, you know, winning that NBA championship, what does it mean for Milwaukee? What does it mean with, you know, for your thoughts on the team's victory?
Oh, first of all, let me say, go Bucks! Yes! Losing my voice even trying to say it out loud. And I have to say that it was great to be able to see how much businesses that had lost during the pandemic could acquire business, you know, downtown. It was great to see that. It lets individuals know that we are a conference place that they can bring their conferences to and be an amazing place and have a great time. It shows you how beautiful the Deer District is and what an amazing event location it can be outside and inside. And it says that the investment was worth saving the 2,000 jobs that were in the previous arena and very candidly for what has grown from there. I love the marketplace that they're doing now. And so if you live in another area of the state and you go to a farmer's market, imagine a farmer's market in the Deer District. That's the kind of thing that's going on now, giving businesses an opportunity to pop up in a place where people are often coming so that they can get their Bucks gear.
State Senator Taylor, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lena Taylor, Democratic State Senator representing areas north of Milwaukee, including Shorewood, Glendale, and Wauwatosa. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.